B-Pod Studios.
They've got the insiders.
Jaffe, hello, sir.
Insiders.
Maybe you know something. I doubt it.
No, I don't know anything.
Toucher and Rich, 98.5, the Sports Hub.
Schwarber hits it a ton. Into right. At the wall. Another grand slam.
Amazing. As many in the last two games as they hit the entire regular season. And the first team in postseason history with three grand slams in one series.
Absolutely.
Yes, it'd be amazing.
Their actions will be taken.
It's your Toucher and Rich.
Big drinking.
Drunk and Red Sox recap.
Like, he's good.
On 98.5, the Sports Hub.
98.5, the Sports Hub. We're Toucher and Rich. You can watch us on Twitch at twitch.tv. You can get the Twitch app. And your Boston Red Sox have gone dong crazy. It's a dong-a-thon. Donging it up, donging it down all over Fenway Park. And they have a 2-1 lead. They're wearing fun T-shirts at press conferences and having fun.
That is the first time that I didn't realize this, that there have been three grand slams in two consecutive games in postseason and regular season history.
A lot of grand salamis.
A lot of salamis, a lot of deli meats.
It's amazing that the two teams that remain in the American League have such problems pitching. And who would have thought that Boston would have, and with Greinke starting tonight, certainly doesn't look good for Houston. Well, it wouldn't look good for really anyone unless they had a total shutdown guy. I mean, like, if they were playing the Dodgers and Scherzer was starting game four, then you might go, all right, Scherzer could shut him down for a game or control them for a game.
Yeah.
But Houston doesn't have a guy that you think they could even control him.
Well, one of the guys is out for the rest of the season as of this series.
Yes, absolutely.
I mean, that's the thing. Houston, Dusty Baker's waking up this morning and saying, I have no
idea. Yeah, what am I going to do?
I have no idea. I have no clue. I'm just going to start a guy, hope he lasts two innings, and then kind of piece it together. But he's got this long sheet in the visitor's clubhouse saying, okay, these six guys are available today, and I have to pitch these six guys because all of them need to give me at least an inning. I mean, it's just unbelievable.
No.
What this Red Sox offense has done.
Yeah. So, I mean, Houston's going to have to there's just, like, we had a debate earlier about Rodriguez, and it all started with Corey yelling at him, justifiably yelling at him about him pointing at his watch. And I, listen, if Boston's going to go ahead and score 12 runs a game, it doesn't matter who you throw out there. It doesn't matter. It's their offense is insanity. 9 runs in the fourth inning. And then Rodriguez starts screwing around, but you got a 9-run lead.
But what's amazing is that the Astros, we thought were going to have a massive amount of firepower as well.
But not 12 runs.
No, nobody's got that.
I mean,
what we've seen over the last, like, two games has just been absurd.
Right. So, like,
comical.
Right. So you think, okay, the heart of the Astros lineup is very, very good. Mm-hmm. And you think, okay, they could put up 5-6 runs.
Yep.
I mean, so 5-6 runs, best case scenario, you go 5-6 runs. 5-6 runs wins your Major League Baseball game. I mean, this team's 9-12 runs.
During the playoffs, you would think, especially
of course,
during the playoffs.
Well, you're managing to win every game. You're not thinking about the next game yet. Where you're managing, you know, the way you manage in the playoffs. Yeah. 5-6 runs, traditionally, right?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, teams don't score 12 runs, like 9-12 runs, two games in a row. Yeah,
it's insanity. You don't score 6 runs in the second inning.
No, it's nuts. You don't hit two grand slams in a game.
No.
This is so... I mean, this Red Sox offense is obviously historic. I mean, I don't have to look it up. I mean, it's obviously probably a trillion things going on historically.
Red Sox have accounted for just about half of the home runs hit in the postseason.
Yeah,
total.
I mean,
Major League Baseball,
of course,
this year.
Because the National League games are close and you know, involve baseball.
What, they got 19, 20 homers already?
Yes, this Red Sox team looks like... like, say you're a team from, Natick, and you go to baseball heaven, mm-hmm. and you play a travel team from the Bronx. So they've taken every good kid at baseball and put them on a Natick team and taken one of the 5 million kids. They get 12 of the 5 million kids in the Bronx, and they're
so
playing
the Astros in this. Yes, in this,
yeah.
In this
so Natick's the Astros, and every kid that comes up just hits bombs.
Yeah.
And when they and if they don't, they're like loud outs where they laugh.
Yeah.
And then the coach has got the catcher pitching at the end of the game, who throws 90 but has no control. I'm speaking from experience in that situation when I've faced.
Would Cincinnati be, Knuckles, or whatever.
Cincinnati Knuckles had their own bus.
Yes.
They were older than, now I'm not this old, but Sabo and Larkin were Cincinnati Knuckles.
Got it.
Nick is out of town. He's out, boning the old bride.
Right. He's out on his honeymoon, and then Bird's working. You know, he's out at Fenway doing his job.
Bird can't be bothered getting audio. He's got to keep those Fenway faithful in check.
I think someone run out of the field last night? I thought I'd read that somewhere.
I didn't see that.
I don't know. I packed out of that.
There's nothing better than the photo of Bird almost being there in time.
Yeah, he's never gotten there.
He was like the seventh man in.
Someday he's going to do it, and it's going to be glorious.
No, but that's just it. No one hops on the field in Bird's zone. He has to cross the field.
They're scared to.
Have you ever talked to a cop about like using a gun? Like a bunch of my mom's family, like, are cops. And, you'll start drinking with them or something. You go, like, you ever kill a guy or anything like that? And they'll go, like, yeah, you know, I carry a gun, but I never want to have to use it. That's like Bird on the field.
Oh,
like,
sure.
I got these muscles and this Everett High football background, but I don't want to have to use it.
I got this walkie-talkie, and I just don't ever want to have to pull it out.
Yeah, exactly. I have all this power at my disposal, but...
He's in every picture of when a guy gets tackled, but he's never the guy that tackles him. I'm waiting for that day when he's finally, like, enough.
Well, Bird could wreck a guy.
Oh, there's no question. And every time you see him, you're like, wow, this guy could totally crush somebody who runs out of the field.
Yeah.
But it's always in a different location than his, or it's near his, but he's just kind of looking in the other direction. Another guy sees it first.
You're saying that Bird might have a neurological situation that makes it hard for him to concentrate.
No, he's way too interested in what's going on in front of him, because there's danger there, too. Danger's lurking in front as well.
I am going to go with Bird is easily distracted. Considering he brought headphones into work so he could watch movies while he was...
I'll second that notion.
...supposed to answer. So who's this
so
guy?
With Nick out and with Bird out, we put out the APB. We said, listen, if somebody's going to go to the game... Why don't you do recaps for us? And a listener who has called into the show before, and I've actually met him. I was at the Kowloon randomly, and he came up and talked to me, and he's a nice guy. Shukri Writes is his name.
Yeah.
He has called in before.
Guy.
Good guy.
Yeah.
And he said, I gotcha. Now, I've not heard these yet, but God bless our listeners stepping up. So let's go live to after the game last night with Shukri doing our Red Sox recaps.
Man, this thing sucks.
Love Up Beer, Sammy Adams,
Houston, Boone,
whatever.
Houston, who? Houston, who? Who the f*** is Houston?
Now, is this after the game?
Yes, yeah, after the game.
So there's about five people stayed till the end. When they got out of that fourth inning, I'm like, I might tap out of this thing myself. I might have to go to bed. All right.
Someone said, Bird finally tackling someone will be like Reginald Vell Johnson finally pulling out his gun at the end of Die Hard.
I like how that was like the good message in it, too. Like, good for him, like, killing that guy. Didn't he kill a guy at the end?
Yeah, but the guy had a machine gun.
No, no,
and
no.
He was about to take everyone out.
No, I know.
The crazy German guy.
No, it was great that he killed them. I mean, like, that was good.
Yeah. I shot a kid.
But
that was earlier in the movie.
Right. Sure.
You learned about that.
Yeah, but he had shot a kid, and so you're like, oh, good for him. Like, he got to kill again. Like, in a
everything's in its place.
Like, he went home and was like, it feels good to kill the right guy. Like, now that I've killed again, I feel like everything's, I've cleaned the palate a little
bit. Although, in a movie full of great moments, that's one of the best. When it goes into focus and you see that it's Reginald Vell Johnson, you're like, the Twinkie guy.
It is a great, if you don't overthink, it's a great thing. But a guy getting over the trauma of killing a child... That goes out, and all of a sudden, he, like, kills the bad guy.
I'm glad you can kill again. High five, and it's like, that should have been the end of the movie. They high five, it freezes, and then the credits roll.
Sure. They should just have a movie, like, called Die Hard 2, or Die Hard 8, Reginald. And it's just him, he's just like killing everyone. He's like, I can do it all the time now.
He's a Terminator.
Like, you look, pull over there.
He's
hey.
RoboCop.
Dad, what are you doing with your hands? I killed another guy.
Well, tell me exactly, what are you loving about the Red Sox so far in this series?
Everything. Tell me what I'm loving about the Astros.
Tell me.
Well, let me ask you this. You loving that the Red Sox thought they will try to come to Fenway and say that it's Correa time?
Whenever you think we're not going to win, we're going to win. Kike Hernandez, JD Martinez, everybody, baby.
No matter what.
Hernandez, JD.
So tell me, what do you think of Kike Hernandez's hot streak so far?
He's going to take us to the championship.
More than that.
That's what matters.
It's history.
What about you two, ladies? You got any opinions about the Red Sox so far?
Love him.
What do you love about him? Well, who's your favorite Red Sox on the team currently?
Mookie Betts.
Oh, my Betts. God. Hang on. See, that's a stop it.
Yeah. Well, if you're friends with someone that I'm friends with on Facebook.
Pedroia play.
Pedroia.
If you're friends with someone I'm friends with on Facebook, you've learned that Kike Hernandez had quite the proposal for his young man.
Yes, that's correct.
You know what I did learn, though? I did learn, however, and I think, John, it was from the article you sent, is that Kike Hernandez found his wife because he was watching Hot Tub Time Machine 2.
Correct.
And there was an actress who was like it was called Shot Girl. She was like a background actress, thought she was hot. Found her on, I think, Instagram, slid into her DMs.
They were both in L.A., and voila.
Married 3 years later.
Must be nice to be a rich baseball player, even though, how old is Kike?
He's in his 20s, I think.
Well, he shouldn't have gotten married. All right.
Who's your favorite player? Mookie Betts.
Yes.
That's immediately what, of course, it turns into a different segment.
Yes, it becomes a pink hat segment. All right.
George Frank.
Yes, George Frank, yes.
Yes, her favorite player is Mookie Betts, who did not play, and she had been there, you would believe, for all 9 innings of that game, seen the lineup come up, down, up, down, up, down, mm-hmm. had been able to see everyone play in the field, and no matter how obstructed her seats, would know that the right fielder you would have a hard time mistaking for Mookie Betts. But nonetheless.
Hell yeah, sports, motherfuckers.
Okay.
Yeah,
all
right. Sports is the best. All right, here we go with more sports. What's the guy's name?
Shukri.
Shukri is out at the big Red Sox game.
Keep talking about comics. Keep talking about comic books, you weirdos. Keep talking about wrestling. Keep talking about comics. This is Sports City.
Yo, tell you right now. Let it be known. Sox and Six. The Astros.
Is this, we're not talking enough about the Red Sox?
So, I don't know what he's talking
about.
Sounded
like a shot there.
So I'm talking about comics?
Comic books.
Oh, I thought you meant like comics, like David Spade that we had on.
No, you're saying you can talk about comic books.
And wrestling. We can't talk about wrestling.
Yeah, this is our show has been very unsuccessful. If only we had gotten on this bandwagon sooner, we could have reaped the rewards.
Nothing on him, bro. Hey, what are we saying now? Let's go, Sox!
What do you guys think? What do you guys think of Kyle Schwarber's performance tonight?
Oh, Schwarber's the man. Let's go, Sox, baby! Dingies, all the way up the moon, bro. Heard you, seen you. You know what to do, cause we riding all the way out, baby.
So you're saying never to go to Fenway. I never want to stay till the end of the game. So I have to see those pricks gallivanting about, making no sense.
Matsuzaki?
Yes. We had one.
Yeah, well.
We had another epic episode.
It's not an experienced guy out there.
Shukri did a good job. He did a good job.
He didn't know to run with it.
No, okay. Now, Shukri, I would give you one more word of advice. It's something I always tell Nick and Adolfo when they went down there is try to avoid doing the recaps in front of Bucket Guy. Bucket Guy is your enemy. He's like, you move away from Bucket Guy. If you find someone good near Bucket Guy, you ask them if they can be removed from being in
I just
presence.
Want to know who's rewarding Bucket Guy for playing the bucket.
Yeah, like who likes Bucket Guy?
Like who's giving Bucket Guy money? Because obviously you could sit out there and panhandle.
Yeah.
But like him nailing that bucket somehow makes it more attractive.
There's Shredder Joe, who's awesome. Oh, yeah. Like he's up at the bridge.
He's up at the bridge.
He shreds.
I used to think that was Rock and Roll Mike.
No, Rock and Roll Mike just screams.
Yes.
Yeah, yeah. He's still around there, apparently.
Yeah, the Shredder guy I have not seen, but I've not been out there in the pageant. When I went, the Red Sox games I went to did not have the pageantry of the playoff atmosphere.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So there were no bucket guys at the games that I was at.
Nobody likes bucket guy.
No, don't give bucket guy money. It's like feeding ducks.
Right. There's
more bucket guys will show up and crowd you?
Yeah, it's like those idiots that first time they ever go to Manhattan go, ooh, pigeons, and then they start throwing their... and then the pigeons follow them everywhere they go. They get out of it.
There are 8 bucket guys trailing you around.
Yeah, no, you go into a department store, you come out, the pigeons are there waiting for you. Like, ah. Like, if bucket guy wants to do something else, then reward. But maybe bucket guy can become statue guy.
Yeah, statue guys. Yeah, do that. Or just stand out there and quietly so we can do the recap.
Exactly. You're making too much of a racket.
Koji?
Koji Bryant, yes.
All right, well, the show has got to stop. All this comic book talk, it's got way out of hand, I got to tell you. And if you want to buy comic book cards, Fred T. sells on eBay.
So it says Bucket Guy has a full drum set now. So it's just like 6 buckets?
Well, if he's just playing drums, that should be illegal. Can't just be out there playing drums.
Well, it's just you stack the 6 buckets.
No, if it's buckets, if it's like... Well, anyone can play. I could play the buckets. Anyone can play the buckets. It's not even hard, yes.
I've seen the drum guy.
Now, is it full drums or is it
full drums? Full drums. Around the corner from the Uno's, just before you're going up over the bridge, he's on the other side by the ATM.
Oh, but he sings too, right? Is that the guy?
I saw him setting up, and it was like a full-on drum
set. Neil Peart out there?
Yes.
Okay, see, now that, to me, would be entertaining.
Had a rug down so it wouldn't slide across the ooh, pavement and stuff like that. Yeah. Oh, yeah, it was very sexy.
Now we're talking.
No, that just sounds like a noise complaint. I don't like that. All right.
Thank you, Shukri. That was nice. We appreciate that. Thank you.
Tom Verducci, before the game yesterday, gave a very... moving ode to a player that just came into play in game 3. Hmm. A little player that likes to hang out at Lansdowne Street. That player is the old ball yard, Fenway Park. We can hear Verducci's very clean,
off the cuff.
Well read off the cuff sentiments about Fenway Park in just a moment.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top 5 Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
They get you going.
In fairness, we have to make up for not watching the game.
Every day.
I might watch a baking show.
Toucher and Rich.
What do you expect me to do? Watch every basketball game?
98.5, the Sports Hub.
There it goes. Adios. Way out of here. Martinez with a shot. It's 11-3.
Just what you said to him kind of coming off the mound there.
Don't do that.
And why?
Because we don't act that way. You know, we just show up, we play, and we move on. He knows. I let him know. We don't have to do that.
He just said it was part of the moment, you know what I mean? He just told me, like, I mean, we don't do that here. Stay humble, you know what I mean? Just go out there and play hard every time, you know what I mean? And like I say, I feel bad for myself because I do that, you know what I mean? And even I say apologize to Correa if I see him in person, you know what I mean? Because that's not things that I normally do, and it was just part of the game. That's it.
98.5, the Sports Hub, where Toucher and Rich, that's Cora and Rodriguez talking about Rodriguez pointing at his watch, doing the Correa thing, and Cora rightly said, kid, this team put up 12 runs for you. Stop pointing at your watch.
Or just don't poke the bear.
Yeah, exactly.
Like, I mean,
listen, it's not the world's biggest deal. It's just like... everything's going so well.
Yeah, right. You just don't want that to be the moment. Yeah,
it is game 3.
Where you look at and go, oh, boy.
Like, it is game 3. I mean, look, does it look like it's possible that this offense could slow down? No. If there was a Scherzer, if there was someone stepping in, a true A stepping in, and to pitch game four, you know, then you might go, all right, they could right the ship, but Greinke's not going to be able to do that. And, well, yeah, if they had a healthy Verlander, if they had a, yeah, I mean, I would take Verlander, even if Verlander sucked this year, I'd still take Verlander because Verlander is like the ultimate big game pitcher, but they don't got him.
No.
So, like, if they had a guy like that, like, say they did, that's a good point, Dan. Say, like, Verlander got healthy. Say Verlander was Greinke, and I know Greinke has had a fantastic career, but not like Verlander. Not like Verlander in the playoffs.
Greinke is going to be 38 on Thursday. He's pitched twice in the last month. He's like a tube of toothpaste where you're kind of squeezing out that last little bit. That's what Houston. So, Houston's hoping for two innings today.
So, from what I know about baseball, which is a little bit, I don't know how you slow this down. They don't have anyone available to slow them down. A team this hot, you talk about getting hot at the right time. I mean, my team won 17 games in a row. They were winning, they were turning double plays. Jesus, 1-2-9-5 double plays. They had guys from left field coming into big double plays.
Just bad luck. I mean, you just real quick on the Cardinals, you win all those games and you're stuck in a wild card playoff game against the best pitcher in the National League.
Well, that's what I'm saying. And then it's a 3-1 game. It's a walk-off home run in the bottom of the ninth. So, you know, there's not even a Wainwright. There's not like some veteran dude to come in there and slow everything down. Like a veteran dude that's not, you know, on his last legs.
How many times have you said this postseason? How is this the same team that played the second half of this regular season?
Well, it just,
I don't even look at anything like it.
Well, just the way, I mean, you know, they're just incredibly hot. And just, they all got hot at the right time.
They're doing things. This is the team this year. There's always one. This is the team this year that can do no wrong regardless of the circumstances. We've gone over and over. This team is not perfect. They have a bullpen that just magically has come together at the right time. They have fielding that is not in even in the top half. They had committed more errors than any other team in Major League Baseball this season. But they've gotten to the point now where nothing matters. They overcome everything,
well,
regardless.
Yeah. When you put up 9-12 runs,
yes,
things tend to work out in your favor. So, I mean, you can't beat a team. You're not. Astros aren't going to come in and score 10 runs. They're not going to do it.
I mean, and that's the other thing about yesterday. The other reason why Eduardo Rodriguez pitching as well as he did mattered so much is that you stayed away from Hauk. You stayed away from every other middle reliever. You didn't have pitch the lefty Tilly. You didn't pitch Whitlock.
You didn't use Pivetta. Because that was the plan.
Yes,
you
stayed away from Pivetta.
That's right. But you stayed away from Pivetta. You stayed away from Hauk, who can both pitch today.
Yes.
All your late inning guys that you lean on. Ottavino didn't pitch, even though he warmed up. Whitlock didn't pitch. The lefty Tilly didn't pitch. Well, all of them can go tonight.
Well, and these are the things that happen when you get a 9-run cushion right away. And listen, Rodriguez had the first two innings were brilliant. But, I mean, when you put up 9 runs, what are you going to do? I mean, Houston's not going to score 10 runs. They're just not. You put up 9-12 runs, you're not going to lose.
By the way, Tony just tweeted something, Tony Mazz, that I thought was interesting, and maybe this was already well known, but I didn't even think about it. If the Red Sox and the Braves both win, Boston has home field for the World Series.
Yes, that's correct.
They do.
That's right.
Awesome. Think about that. A team that it took until the last day for them to make the playoffs, and they could end up having home field during the World Series.
Yes, they would have home field.
Oof.
And you want to play the Braves, believe me. All right. But, you know, you talk about all of this. You talk about, but there was an extra character last night that maybe lent a little wink and a little magic to the whole affair. And that's an old lady that sits out there on Lansdowne Street, and she's been there for a while, and that old maid sometimes has her dents and dings, and she has her flaws, but darn if we don't love her. And that old lady is called Fenway Park.
I'm glad finally someone
that
is
old
saying
lady
that.
Is Barbara Bush.
I'm glad finally someone is saying something about how great Fenway Park is.
Well, we
is.
Did the math, and say that it was like the 86th postseason game in Fenway Park. That means that like 70 of them were since I've been alive. So you've got a lot of storylines. They used to not play 75 playoff games. You used to have a best of 7, and that solved the whole thing. So, you know, At best, they played, what, like 16 before the modern era?
Yeah. We should play this clip like the Gong Show, except it's just who's the first one to vomit from something that he says.
So Verducci feels the need. So my point in saying how many of these playoff games have been since we've been adults, and you know, Rich's 45 on 46, since Rich and I have been adults, how many times have you effing... It's a million times there's been a postseason game. There's a postseason game in Fenway Park now more often than there isn't. Jesus, I've been to them, and I didn't have to. I saw them play Cleveland. I paid like $8 to get in. So, I mean, this isn't necessary anymore. This is not necessary. Everyone knows that you're in Fenway. You're not introducing the casual baseball fan to Fenway Park. And by the way, the casual baseball fan... it doesn't want a low-rent Ken Burns walking around the field philosophizing.
Right. Not even like Gammons is getting buttered up by this.
No.
Yeah.
Who is this for?
This happens all the time.
Every playoff series when it comes to Fenway Park, there's like where they show like the wall slowly, and then they show Pesky's pole, and you know, they're, oh, it's yes!
Because he probably references a lot of these things. I just heard him talking, and I turned the channel. I said, I can't take it. Oh, but I thought of it this morning.
Listen, not only for what he says and how ridiculous it is based on in context of what you guys are saying, but listen to how he says it.
And how, yeah, it just, so don't play
very
any
important.
Do not play any music in the background because the music only makes it more tolerable. This is as aired last night on Fox.
Of course.
Someone's got to come and fix the board.
Let's check in with Tom Verducci.
Thanks, Joe. There's a new player in this ALCS drama, 109-year-old Fenway Park. It's the oldest ballpark and the one that most influences how a game is played. The Red Sox know this well. No team at home had more runs, doubles, and hits. This ballpark, like the rings of a sequoia tree.
Shut up,
jackass. That's it. That's the moment. You were fine up to that point. But
it's an old building. It's a dump. It's an old dumpy building. We get it.
John, there's a little Sean Granny in this little speech, isn't there?
No.
Like the rings of a sequoia tree.
There's a little, Sean Granny tends to go into things like this every once in a while.
I don't know what you're talking about.
And Puritanic.
Sean's a brilliant
Jack
writer.
Edwards. A little bit of Jack Edwards in this as well.
You want to go Jack Edwards and Ragtag Farmers. I'm right there with you.
There's a little bit of the pre-written poetic, you know, speech.
And the corrupt government of Boston would never let the owners tear this down and build what they wanted and the public
That's
wanted.
Right, when they tried to build one right next to it.
Right, which would have been a state-of-the-art stadium that everyone would have enjoyed.
All of a sudden, prices skyrocketed and the owners had no choice but to stay here.
Yeah, the corrupt land barons of Boston did not allow this to be destroyed, is it right? Should have been.
How do these people not know that we could sniff this out from a mile away?
Yeah, it's a dump. Like I get it. Rings of a sequoia tree. Right. It's an old crappy building that everyone wants a new one. Like they tried to knock it down a million times, or at least tried to expand the effing thing. Expand it. Put more seats in.
With the most expensive concessions in Major League Baseball.
And nice and tight. Nice. The lowest attendance, the lowest amount of seats in baseball, keeping prices sky high.
With a $65 parking lots just outside the building.
Condensation slowly falling down your beer onto the massive credit card bill.
Yes, and if he's walking, by the way, the guy's got the balls to do this, and he's walking by the home dugout, where if you take just a few steps further down, you'll notice the seats are not pointing anywhere near the field. They give you a nice view of the bullpen.
Say like hello to your friend in section 42. Yeah.
Like the red rings, not just on the sequoia tree, but on your kneecaps as they press hard against the steel seat in front of you.
Fenway Park,
as you eat the top of your thighs, being crunched into your tiny seat.
Yeah, the average age, the average height of an American male when this stadium was built was 5'2". And now they've somehow genetics have made us bigger. Big dump. Oh, Fenway's old, you don't say. See, even if I was a Martian who just landed, I could say, oh, big wall out there.
Yeah.
Hits. This ballpark, like the rings of a sequoia tree, show the story and the years with all the dents in the left field wall. Although around here, they don't like the word dent.
Hate to break it to you, but nobody gives a rat's ass anymore.
No, but also, like, the way he says it, like, but around here, nobody likes to hear about dents.
Wink. And I expect a Sarge smile at the camera.
Oh, you got a smolder. Very important. Uh-huh. So I'm going to be the douche that writes this time, Verducci says. This is so, oh, my job, my bit, you're going to pay me to do 60 seconds on this dump. Like the rings of a sequoia tree. What the? I almost swore. What are you talking about? The dents.
Wait, I have a question.
Like the glory, like the troughs in the old bathroom.
Like the glory holes in the Flying J.
That's right. Well, can you imagine if the Flying J hired him to go out like to like I-4 in Tennessee? Like the old rings that Burly John Buck one time first initiated the ritual of putting one shoe under.
Like the shaved body hair collecting on the drain of the trucker shower. Many tales of years past.
Like the lot lizards cruising, knocking on it, truck after truck, looking for paid companionship. Ugh.
It's a shimmering emerald.
No, it's there's
Stop.
Nothing shimmering
well,
about
come
it.
Come on.
It looks like crap.
Say that with a straight
like
face.
Crap.
Shimmering emerald.
At least you're not Detroit. At least Detroit, at least they don't talk about what a dump the city is. And how the and how it's a and how Comerica's a jewel and it's like in a toilet bowl.
So
like,
it says what's worse, this or the Masters intro?
Oh, the Masters.
I mean, the Masters.
Well, they're the same.
It really is.
But
it's
the just, Masters.
You get the Masters every year, so it's even more ridiculously awful. But.
And it never ends. Like, with the Masters, like, it's all 4 days. And in fact, it's all week because it's even the stupid practice rounds. And people I know, like, buy into it. And they wear Masters apparel all over the place. Makes me want to kill them.
It's a shimmering emerald on an autumn night that is hosting a postseason game for the 88th time. From the Babe to Pudge to Big Poppy.
They have to name names. Like everyone else is like, remember players that played here? Remember these guys? Hey,
Pudge
they
Rodriguez.
Were good. There's players. More players.
You don't know who Pudge is?
I know. It's Ivan Rodriguez, but I don't.
Carlton Fisk.
Oh, I thought it was Ivan Rodriguez.
It was Fisk first here.
Pudge?
Yeah.
Pudge was Fisk?
Yes.
Oh. He got me a baseball lesson.
Yep.
You need to spend more time with Verducci learning about Sequoia rings.
Does his plaque in the Hall of Fame say Pudge?
Good question. I don't know the answer to that.
Because I would imagine Ivan Rodriguez says Pudge.
Yeah, I'll take a look.
Well, now I feel like I haven't lived here long enough.
I could have told you that. To Pudge, to Big Poppy, to Kike, so much history is written on this field. Who will be next?
So much urine is littered throughout. It says Pudge on Fisk plaque.
Does it? Okay.
Does it say it on Ivan Rodriguez's plaque? Well, you learn something every day.
Yep.
The douche man taught me a lesson. Here I thought I knew something.
Will it say it on Kurt Schilling's?
No, Kurt
just
Schilling's.
Like people in the locker room.
Kurt Schilling's will just be a meme of Hitler. And it says, by the way, it says it on Rodriguez's plaque, too.
Yeah.
Well, now I call out Rodriguez for taking the name Pudge.
That's correct.
Can't do that.
Yeah, Fisk was Pudge.
That's like when Dwight Howard called himself Superman when Shaq was already Superman.
That's about right. Yeah.
How could Ivan Rodriguez have taken Pudge? Now my whole world is turned upside down.
I understand.
I had no idea Fisk was called Pudge.
Yep.
I swear to God, I had no idea. And it's on both their plaques.
Yep.
Both catchers.
He got the nickname
both
here.
Both Hall of Famers.
He got the nickname here before he went to Chicago.
Even though there's no way Fish should be in the Hall of Fame, but nonetheless.
Hey.
Oh, yeah, he was great. He just played until he was really old.
Oh, by the way, Aaron Boone is coming back. He just got a new contract for 3 years, geez. Plus an option for 2025.
Well, things have certainly changed.
Literally
there.
Just happened.
Yep. There you go.
Things have certainly changed around there. All right. Well, so if you're going to the game tonight, know that you are walking into a shining emerald. Of dump. It's a dump.
Bring lots of money.
And bring lots of money for the privilege.
It's a shining emerald because that's what you'll have to give them in order to get into
the
park.
Take public transportation or you're out $60 before you walk in the front door.
Family of four, that's five shining emeralds you'll need to give them.
My seats to the games for regular season were $190 apiece. I can only imagine what you're paying for these games.
They said standing room only was like $170?
$140.
Hachi machi.
Yeah, that's right.
All right. Well, you listen, if you love dongs, you get what you pay for. Because they're paying it off.
You're getting tons of dongs.
You're getting a lot of souvenirs for the fans. All right, we'll be right back.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
Than me. Way worse than me.
Toucher and Rich.
And I don't look good.
On 98.5, the Sports Hub.
98.5, the Sports Hub. We're Toucher and Rich. So, when things start falling apart for the Patriots, who, even the guys who've covered this team, I mean, think about it. It's a generation of guys who've known nothing but winning. Know nothing but winning overtime games. Know nothing but winning close games. I mean, it was just a given. Like, you go for it on fourth down in overtime, you pick it up, and then you frustrate every opposing fan, and you go about your business. You don't come into Gillette Stadium and win. And now you don't come into Gillette Stadium and lose. I mean, that Miami loss looks terrible now. Oof.
Well, the Miami loss was one of those games where they absolutely had to win that. I mean, they had it in their hands. The excuse at the time was, all right, new pieces that are together, blah, 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 blah. But since then, we have seen one missed opportunity after missed opportunity after missed opportunity. They've been playing extremely conservative. And that's why last night when I saw Sean McDermott going for it on fourth and inches right near the goal line instead of kicking a field goal to tie it, it felt refreshing. I was like, wow. I mean, when's the last time we saw the Patriots take a chance? And they're at the point where they should be able to. You should be confident enough with Mac Jones and the offense to be able to take a chance. And I think that what happened in overtime, in my opinion, it's getting more unforgivable the more I think about it. And we talked to Ted Johnson about it. When your defense has been out in the field for 12 more minutes than your offense has, and you want to, and your whole solution is put these guys back out there and see if they can stop Dak Prescott, no, you go for it.
So this generation of guys who've covered nothing but winning, I mean, 20 years is a long time in any job. And, you know, 20 years this team has been, you know, had all the answers. Now you start searching for answers to why things are going wrong, and I'm all aboard this answer.
Well, this was great because this came out of nowhere on the Patriots post game on NBC Sports Boston. Ted Johnson was in studio, Matt Castle, Michael Holly, and then Tommy Curran. They were trying to figure out what's gone wrong with the defense, and then Tommy Curran just comes out with this.
In 2017, Matt Patricia's last year here, they weren't a good defense at all. They gave up 41 points in the Super Bowl. They almost got beat by Jacksonville and Blake Bortles. Patricia leaves. In 2018, they're an excellent defense. They win the Super Bowl in large part because of the defense. 2019, they're historically good for a while. Last year, despite the opt-outs, there were games in which the defense looked great. Now, Matt Patricia has returned. And they are setting franchise records. And I don't know what role he's got, we got a common denominator in the house. We got a common denominator in the house.
Castle. I mentioned Bill Belichick. Steve Belichick,
I'm just saying.
And Tommy Curran goes.
It's been 4 years. He's been gone.
He's figured it out. He's figured it out.
How did they look at Detroit? Wherever he goes.
You're right. It is coaching. What was I thinking?
Wherever he goes, points will follow.
Okay.
It's just searching for answers. It's the, you're digging under every hole.
Maybe he's the cooler now. He's the cooler. He shows up. And just all of a sudden, everyone just, and maybe he has been giving some sort of oversight over the defense. Who knows? Nobody knows what he does. But I do know, according to Zolak, if I'm not mistaken, I thought I heard him say during the broadcast at one point, and it was after one of the brain farts that the team has been known for over the past couple of weeks, that apparently Bill Belichick was lighting up Gerard Mayo on the sidelines. And this just seems to be going hand in hand. And according to...
Maybe that's why his face was all effed up. His mayo had handed him his ass earlier in the week.
Maybe that could have been the case. But Ted Johnson was saying that, you know, he has heard that these assistant coaches, a lot of them don't even know what their assignments are. Like, a lot of them are lost when it comes to what their specific responsibilities are. And I wouldn't doubt it, because something is slipping through the cracks. Who is responsible for there being 10 men on the field one game, 12 men on the field another game, having to take a timeout after, or I'm sorry, a delay of game after a timeout, which is utterly, I mean, that's inexcusable to do that. Remember Dallas had a timeout and then the Patriots ended up getting a delay of game?
Yeah.
What are we doing?
Yeah, that was an offensive personnel problem. And that's the one thing that they should be on top of. Josh McDaniels is a guy with a clearly defined role. I mean, you come out of a timeout, and Mac Jones has to, you know, say, yep, we don't have the right guys on the field.
Yeah. Well, I'm all for trashing Matt Patricia. And I told you when I heard that he was in the room, the only other guy in the room with Belichick and Cam Newton, when they cut Cam Newton, that's bad news. Because everywhere he goes, it smells of farts and desperation. He's just a big, big old piece of garbage, ruining everything that's in his path. Gravy train and everything with his Goodell clown nose shirt when he got off the airplane. Matt Patricia is awful. And if he's involved and he's taken over the Ernie Adams role, oh boy, that's not good news.
Well, I mean,
you want him as far away from this as possible.
Well, if he is the stat master who's trying to figure out, like, what is the smart play, like I guess the Ernie Adams was, you know, Ernie talked to me, he had the Ernie phone. If he's the eye in the sky who's busting the stats out.
He is in the sky.
Well, how many decisions have we seen this season where you were like, what the hell are they doing? Why wouldn't they go for it?
Right.
And so then that's something you definitely point the finger at Matt Patricia for.
If Patricia's intimately involved with any decision-making, that's bad news if you're a Patriots fan. And I will stand by that, and I stand by Tommy Curran's take on that.
By the way, sometimes Tommy Curran says stuff without saying stuff. Like, I think that sometimes his amount of knowledge, you know, he doesn't have enough to let it out.
Right, because he's
public.
Like a reporter. Right. And like, you can't just, like here, you can't just pontificate and throw things out there. Since he is at the level of being a reporter who breaks news.
Yeah.
Yeah, so
for him to throw that out there just almost unsolicited seems like maybe he's hearing
it. And then Ted Johnson said that he had been hearing things that maybe the message was a little, getting a little mixed up between Steve Belichick, Patricia, and Mayo, that maybe the roles not being defined isn't just a cute little ploy for the media to be a misdirection for the media, that maybe that's actually having real on-field effects. Interesting. Well, I'm all for it. After what he did in Detroit, I'm all for anything discrediting Matt Patricia. All right, Will Brinson, scheduled to join us. We'll see. That almost never happens, but we'll find out in just a moment.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com. BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.